Sunday morning, 4:30:23. We're going to do a teaching. This is the Warfare Ready Checklist. And this is going to go along a little bit with what Danny had this morning, a little bit. Just a smidge of it. Okay. According to the territorial spirits or entities that are over a certain area, the characteristics and actions of the non-believers and shamefully even believers will be. In other words, they're going to mimic the ruling spirit over the area. That's the way the people are going to act. These deities work through the people they rule over to execute Satan's will. Unfortunately, Christians vacate instead of infiltrate, which is why we are in the mess we are in. Jesus told us to occupy. His Father in the beginning told Adam and Eve to take dominion and fill the earth. That's Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28. Well, I'm going to read it to you, lest you forget. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. What is dominion? Yeah. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So he didn't just say, this little garden, I want you to fill it. No, he said, fill the whole earth. All right. Jesus said that we were to bind the strong man, that's good. Bind the strong man and take back our goods. Right? We looked at this last week a little bit. All right, I'm going to look at the three instances. This is Matthew. This is the first one that Jesus said it. 12:29. Well, let's do 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? So you go in there, you get your ropes, you tie them up. Yeah? All right, the same thing is Mark 3:27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. So the devil's over there tied up in a corner and you're just raking it clean. Just get a better picture. All right, Luke 11. Well, Jesus says in 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and abideth his spoils. Yeah. He thinks all the goods are his because he's had them. He's stolen them. Isn't that what the deep state's done? They've stolen from us from our birth. They've marketed off of our birth certificate. Every cent that we put in the bank, they're lending it out to somebody else. That's why when you go to the bank today and you want a big amount of money, they can't give it to you. It's because they're taking your money and making money on it. They're crooks. They're bookies. They might as well be, they're gamblers. Yeah. All right. He has no right to your goods, but you must take them back by force if necessary. Not meaning necessarily violence, but this scripture comes to mind, Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that mean? To seize, to catch, pluck, pull, or take. Well, I guess we can't go there anymore. No, run the devil out. See, that's the attitude. I hear that. It's probably every day you get on anybody's channel and they're telling you boycott. That's their middle name now. Boycott, boycott, boycott. No. What good is that going to do? It just gives you less places to be able to go. It puts you in a box. Isn't that what they wanted to do in the first place? And that where their agenda is heading to these 15-minute cities where you'll live in a cubicle, you'll eat bugs, you won't have anything, but you'll be happy? Yeah. Well, that's what they say, all right? No, run the devil out. Make it impossible for him to be there anymore. Apply pressure. Force him out. Make his life a living hell. Make his life a living hell instead of him making your life a living hell. They think they own the place. Well, I have news for them. We own it, and it's high time we start acting like it. Yeah. It appears as in the church, we only understand the physical side of things. If someone came to your house and started trying to take your stuff, what would you do? He'd probably get your gun. He'd probably call the cops. Yeah. It is no different in the spirit realm. The church is the spiritual army of the Lord. You cannot whip the devil in your flesh. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to what? Pulling down strongholds. All right, we do it in the spirit by the finger of God. It burns in my heart to see a church that obeys the scriptures. It has never been Satan's, even though he is the god of this world system. This system is a system that deceives, just like the prior teaching on AI. AI is trying to control the world through this evil cabal, and their leader is Satan himself. Satan's system is a psychological psyop. What God made, what God says is real, and it is the truth. I'm telling you, that AI, it's a demon. And it's in our computers, our phones, probably in your TV. What do you think smart means? Well, it's a tracking device, but that's that smart device. That's AI. I was sitting in the car, and I was just confessing about AI, and it was some kind of weird thing, it was just momentary, and the screen of the car went to something else and flashed back. I'm telling you, I'm going, oh my gosh. So if something starts weird happening, say they want it to wear, that's why I was saying, we need a vehicle that doesn't have any of the computer crap on it. Because see, what could they do? They could shut everything down where your car won't even run. So I said, get an old Jeep, or an old truck, something that's sound and it runs. But if your computer system went out on your car, you'd have something to drive. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's in everything. Yeah. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. Starting with verse 1 there. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, the seals have been unsealed. Another movie comes to mind. What are the ones, the Terminator movies, where it was just all machines taking over everything, controlling people? Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will it until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. They think they're so clever, don't they? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perishes, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, they chose that other, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord has led us to intercede and speak that we want, what we want about our nation, just like he spoke in Genesis 1. And God said, and just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree and told us to speak to the mountain. What mountains? Our own, of course, but not just ours, but the seven mountains of influence. Flying over Ohio, those profound words that I heard are exactly what I'm talking about. When was that in? 99? The Lord began to speak this to me about what we're doing now, back in 99. I didn't understand it at that time. God said that he never intended for the airlines to be in the hands of the unbelievers. So all the industry and all these mountains were meant to be ours. Instead, Satan's minions have gotten rich from them. It all belongs to us. For some reason, Christians think that they don't have to maintain. Well, try not mowing your yard and see what happens. I had someone say to me that had their yard done, and they were just amazed. I thought when you had your yard done, it just would look beautiful all the time. I'm just going, what? This is someone that's never had to do anything like this. So they just didn't know, I'm thinking. If you find it, let me know. Yeah, I'm going, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Okay, Revelation chapter 17. Yeah. The only grass that I know of would be artificial, but even then, you've got weeds will start growing underneath that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Revelation 17. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, of which the woman sitteth. There it is, Seven Mountain Mandate. We must take our stand. We have to. I mean, we cannot allow the enemy to do any more damage. All right, Ephesians 6, I want to read that. We looked at that, was it last week or was it Wednesday night? That actually Ephesians is our warfare stance. It's a stand. It's not a runaway, that's a boycott. It's a stand. Starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is the only way we're going to beat the system. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Only He can tell us what to do. Only He can tell us what to say. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means you got to be protected. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against AI. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I was in there working on my computer yesterday, and I was typing all this out about the AI, and the computer did something weird. And I don't ever remember it coming up saying it was AI and here to help before. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's why you got your armor on. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If it was up to me, you give me my voter, my ballot, and you just give me just regular gold, silver. I don't want any association with any bank or anything if it was up to me. It don't hurt me to go back to coin. It makes me don't want anything to do with anything that has to do with AI. I mean, DARPA is Facebook. When DARPA stopped, which is a military operation to monitor everything you do. They know all your phone calls, all your appointments, everything, and it's recorded and it's kept stored. So this isn't just been done in a corner. All right. We do it in the Spirit by the finger of God. Yeah. I just hope the church will get it together. I say, Lord, help us. Why is it always a remnant? Just a remnant. And the whole Word of God was always just a remnant. Oh. We don't back down even though we're experiencing flak. What do you expect when you're over the target? This is what training is all about. It builds character. It causes you to stand and not back down. You develop spiritual stamina. When you're spiritually strong, you will be physically strong. All our help comes from our spirit, where God's spirit dwells. The same spirit that dwells in you raised Christ from the dead and will also quicken your mortal body. If you don't go through the training, there will be no reigning. We are certainly better than when we started. David learned how to kill the giant by killing the lion and the bear first. He didn't get the giant first. He got the lion and the bear first. The Lord gives you small things to do, and He sees how you do. I want to read this about 1 Samuel 17. if you look back, you can see how the Lord's led us. It just keeps growing, gets more defined. All right, start with verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his chariot in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'm telling you today, out of every breath that the deep state has, they are defying us. They're trying to incite violence against conservative Christians. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the haughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You know what I see here? Y'all ain't got nothing there. Come on over to our place. We got it going on. His brother didn't understand what God was doing. They or whoever, they don't understand what God is doing. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. So like the older brother in the prodigal, doesn't it? This son of yours wasted his living with harlots. You done so much as give me a barbecue. Look what you've done for him. And when the words were heard, when David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote it and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Do you see yourself there? To me, AI is a giant. We've been dealing with the bear and the lion. Now the Lord's given us assignment. We got the Philistine. Well, Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. David didn't see the strength of the giant like everyone else there that day. David saw how big his partner was, the Lord himself. He said, the Lord will deliver. He didn't say he would. He said, the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came on him and he killed the lion and the bear. He's saying, the Lord will deliver me, just like he delivered me from the lion and the bear. He'll deliver us from this Philistine. Okay. All right, 1 Samuel 17. 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. See, they were fighting in their flesh. David had spiritual armor. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Sound familiar? We've been taunted by the deep state for a long time. They have trashed. They've made evil look good and good evil. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. That old devil just a-taunting, right? And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. By faith, the faith stands. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. That's what we need to do. We need to cut off the head. That means their authority's gone from this earth forever. All right. James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's the only way you're going to be able to kill the Philistine. David didn't let the taunts of the giant stop him. He was honed in on God, the Lord of hosts, of the God of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Now, I told you the title of this is, what did I tell you the title was? Warfare Ready Checklist. All right, first one, submitting to God. Few in our world today know about submitting to God. They do know about submitting under tyranny, though. Yeah, I don't know that I know anybody. You know what I'm saying? That really submit to God. All right, 1 John 5, with that. Starting with verse 1 there. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, the second part here is draw near to God. In other words, having a personal prayer life with God. This is John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So draw near to God, submitting to God, drawing near to God. In other words, getting the plan from God. All right, Romans 12 is another good one. The first three verses of that. For this purpose, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right. Number three is cleanse your hands. In other words, purify your hearts. In other words, have the right motives. Talk about loving. You know, love never fails. Love in the equation will never fail. Yeah. To be a spiritual warrior, you will move from blessing me to blessing them. It means all my Christian life experiences that most go to church to get blessed and get their needs met. What does that have to do with the plan of God to take back our nation? Seek ye first God's plan. You know the rest. What does holiness imply? We're going to look at some scriptures on that. This is Galatians 4:6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into his heart, your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's not wearing a bun on your head and wearing a long dress. Being able to say, Abba, Father, a relationship with the Father. All right, Galatians 4, 1 and 2 says, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Holiness, a relationship with God. And then obedience to God. This is in the same chapter, verse 19. But my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul went to great lengths to mature. Ephesians 4. Jesus is a standard to follow. Paul birthed things by interceding in the Spirit for the church. To be holy is not to do what you desire, but to do what God desires for you to do. Right? Again, we can see this easily in a natural relationship, but so many don't have it as Christians. They don't have a clue. You ask them, what's God's plan for your life? I don't know. Well, they never just even did the first thing. Renew your mind with the Word of God so you can know His will. I said that to somebody one day, and they just looked at me, you know what, you are so right. I said, most people I know have never even done that. They've gone their whole life and never even asked the Father, what's your will for me? They've never renewed their mind till they did know it. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start with 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now we know why the church is carnal. They're doing just what it said here. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. If you don't renew your mind to the truth of God's word, you're not going to know. If you don't know his will, it's like somebody passes away and they read the will, and the wishes of the person that passed away is in the will. How are you ever going to know if you were left anything if you don't hear the will read? Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work on uncleanness with greediness. The church is mainly carnal. That means fleshly. Everything they do is fleshly. Fleshly works, fleshly programs. They think it's spiritual because they put the right title on it and has the right words. But if God's not in it, it's not God's. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Know what I just said? And then you put on the new man. See, God has an image prepared for you. That's you. That's how he sees you. That's how he wants you. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak each man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's God's way. That's the way he wants it. Whether it's there or not. All right. Now flip with me to Colossians chapter 3. Starting with verse 5 there. It says to mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, or whatever that is, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, and Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Yeah. All right. Galatians 5, 19. Well, it talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. If we don't have this developed, we're going to be ineffective in our warfare. Think about it. You don't want anything in you that's going to give the enemy any right to you. All right, let's keep going. 1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Holy in the Greek means set apart. In other words, people can look at you and say, now that's somebody that's not just a talker. They actually do it. They're the real deal. How many people do you know you could say that about? All right, set apart for God is sanctification. All right. Let's go back to Colossians 1. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, ye now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Holiness comes from the inside out, not outside in. You know, we know about the holiness movement, you know, they wear skirts and they don't cut their hair and don't wear no makeup, all that kind of stuff. And everybody, that was supposed to depict holiness. No, it just depicts ugly. Sorry. Nothing wrong with painting the fence if the fence needs painting. It's about inside. Danny's grandfather always said, yeah, long hair, long skirts, and long tongues. I said, yeah, you're just about right there. Okay. All right. This holiness comes from the inside. This is Matthew 6. This is Jesus talking here. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. But I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's why you don't go on about how bad it is. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I've tried to make it a point to say, Lord, I count it a privilege and honor to suffer shame for your name. Nobody needs to know. You just, right here, he told you. I'll see in secret and I'll reward you openly for whatever you do for me. Whatever you have to suffer and you're standing in your warfare or whatever. That we want sympathy, don't we? Is that holiness? No. It's not. All right. All right, holiness is not an outward checklist, but character development from within. This is required for leaders in the church. All right, 1 Timothy 3. If you're just all show, the first rattle out of the box, the devil's first punch, you'll be out. Verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, we must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. It goes on to talk about the deacons, same qualifications. All right, Titus chapter 1. Basically saying the same thing. Verse 5 there. For this cause left I then Crete, that thou should have set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. It talks about them being blameless, a husband, one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. You know, one of the main things that I think I really have a hard time with a lot of the truthers today, especially the ones that say they're Christians, they use the F-bomb. Some of the things they say, I'm going, how can you, I don't know. Anyway. Sometimes I think it's just a rebellion against the religious system. Like, don't tell me what to do, you know. But anyway. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Verse 9 there. Okay. All right, let's keep going here. We're nearly done. Holiness is not, okay. 1 Timothy, I read that a while ago, didn't I? Did I read 1 Timothy? I did. Okay. All right, let me read the checklist. Here's a helpful checklist to so you know you're ready to do warfare. Number 1, have a proper relationship with God. You're born again, spirit-filled, and have a desire to please God. Number 2, confession of all known sin. Unconfessed sin is a hindrance to successful warfare. Number 3, victory in your own personal battles. You know, like your lions and bears. So when the giant stands before you, you'll be a success at that too. 4, maintain high standards. And 5, welcome accountability. With this, you're ready. Go get him off of our land. Go take it. Go get our stuff back. But see, we got to have a pure heart, clean hands. And, you know, as far as we know, we're right with God. And that way it'll make our warfare a whole lot easier.